Hello. On this edition of News Analysis, we're asking what lies ahead for Libya as Gaddafi forces set for a prolonged war. How long will the NATO mission continue, and is it steering Libya towards freedom and justice for all? Stay with us.
Fierce fighting rages on for the capture of the last strongholds of the former fugitive ruler Muammar Gaddafi. Revolutionary fighters are facing stiff resistance from the remnants of the former regime, who are holed up in three areas: the town of Bani Walid, the city of Sahba, and Gaddafi's hometown Sirte, which has been under heavy fire from the revolutionaries.
Today, Gaddafi started attacking the same area again. Maybe just, you know, to make it impossible for this ceasefire, or maybe he's thinking that we are still in this area.
A tank now belonging to the revolutionaries rolling towards Sirte. The revolutionaries maintain their high morale for the fight.
These are the tanks of the tyrant, the ones he used to kill the children of Misrata. God is the greatest. We are the revolutionaries of Misrata, and we are coming.
The whereabouts of Gaddafi and his son Saif al-Islam are still unknown. Gaddafi himself has given a new audio message in which he insisted he is still Libya's ruler. However, realities on the ground show the status quo is irreversible. The new flag has replaced that of Gaddafi's at the UN, where a summit has been held on Libya. Addressing the participants, the head of Libya's National Transitional Council, Mustafa Abdel Jalil, said Gaddafi and his henchmen will be brought to justice. Meanwhile, the NTC is receiving more global recognition. The African Union has just recognized the Council as Libya's legitimate government. A new Libya has just emerged.
Well, let's get more now from Mr. Sabri Malik, spokesman for the Libyan Democratic Party in London, Dr. E. Michael Jones, editor of Culture Wars magazine in Indiana, and also we're expecting Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, author and historian in Washington, to join us shortly. I'll start my first question with Mr. Sabri Malik. Mr. Malik, does Gaddafi think that he can still win this war, and why is he still clinging on to power?
What he thinks is neither here nor there. The fact is that he's no longer in power. It is impossible for him to go back to power in Libya. The Libyan people have rejected him. It is now time to prepare Libya for democracy. I would like to say in this respect to thank Mr. Obama for his speech to the Libyan people today. And we'd like to say, as a representative of the Democratic Party, that we are ready to work very closely with Mr. Ian Martin, the United Nations Special Envoy to Libya, to establish the democracy in the country.
Okay, Dr. Jones, if I can put this question to you as well, before we move ahead with the remarks that were made today at the UN, is there, do you think, still strong support for Gaddafi in Libya?
I think there is. I think there is strong support, and I think there is strong support because Muammar Gaddafi ran his government in the interest of the Libyan people. And I think that the Libyan people are in for a big surprise when this NATO-backed junta takes over the country and starts running the country in the interest of international capitalism and the international banking establishment. I think they're in for a rude awakening.
Okay, Mr. Malik, speaking now about what was said at the UN, Mr. Jones there making it clear his view of what the NATO role is in Libya. Well, in his speech at the UN, Obama said that the humanitarian mission, in his words, in Libya was one which was supported by much of the international community and was the right thing to do. Now, critics would raise questions, though, about the upholding of the UN Charter, for instance, for settling disputes by peaceful means, and also the concept of sovereignty for Libya. How relevant do you find these kinds of arguments? Mr. Malik.
Well, The United Nations' role in Libya now is to help us establish democracy in the country. The United Nations so far has done a good job, humanitarian help. We are very thankful. And it is now time now to think ahead for the future of Libya. We in the Democratic Party support Mr. Dr. Abdulrahman Swahili bid to become the head of the Executive Council of the NTC. We think it's time now for Dr. Jibril, Mahmoud Jibril Al-Warfalli, to leave the political scene because he used to work for Gaddafi and the Libyan people do not want him. It's now time for a fresh start in Libya.
Okay, well, just remaining on that question of the legal arguments that have been put forward, Dr. Jones, neither UN resolutions 1970 or 1973 permitted NATO to initially bomb or to arm or support a faction in Libya to obtain regime change. But people would say that's what practically happened because when it comes to helping the revolutionaries oust Gaddafi, that needed to be done.
This is preposterous. This is a NATO-backed junta overthrowing a government that did nothing to harm any country in NATO. This was an act of naked aggression. There is no rule of law possible here when there's this type of aggression is permitted. It's preposterous to talk about the rule of law in a situation like this. This is a looting operation. This is the NATO's attempt to use the Arab Spring revolutions as cover to take over a country, a sovereign country that has not attacked NATO, and to loot this country of its resources, its oil, its water, and its gold.
All right, I'm just hearing that Dr. Tarpley is now joining us live from Washington, so let's get him into the discussion as well. Dr. Tarpley, I don't know if you've been listening to the discussion, but we're right now discussing what lies ahead for Libya when we speak of NATO's role up until now and when we speak of what the NTC is facing. The question would now be, do you think that, first of all, Gaddafi is still strong enough to remain in power? And do you think that, as President Obama said today, that this is a humanitarian mission that has been continuing in Libya, and he said will still continue?
Well, I think we have to remember there are two traditions here in the United States. You have a certain kind of imperialist politician like maybe Nixon or Bush the Younger. These are brutal thugs. They talk about bombing people back into the Stone Age and bring it on and all the rest of it. Then we also have that other tradition, the tradition of the hypocrites. We had Woodrow Wilson, and we've got Obama today. I think Obama, based on that performance at the United Nations today, he should get the Nobel Prize for hypocrisy. This is a country that has been raped. Libya was, after all, the most advanced standard of living in Africa as measured by the United Nations Human Development Program in terms of health, education, welfare, the status of women, and many, many other social and economic measures. It was also the most advanced water infrastructure, really, of just about any place in the world. And, of course, a lucrative oil industry, but many other things that were being promoted. This has now been completely smashed. Today we had the imperialist twins at the UN, I guess, Jalil and Jibril, telling us that it's 25,000 people killed. And what you've got now is a yoke being imposed by the likes of Belhaj, also known as Hassadi and Salabi and people like this. These are simply Al-Qaeda terrorist fighters and other foreign fighters that have been brought in. There are still massacres of black Libyans and black Africans that are ongoing. The U.S. Special Forces have been on the ground continuously the whole time. And nevertheless, these rebels are militarily impotent. They're not able, after about 3 weeks, to capture either Sirte or Bani Walid or Sabah there in the southern part. There are vast areas of Libya that are not under their control. So Libya has been raped, and the performance today by Obama, I think, it's a new low in the moral and intellectual bankruptcy of the Obama regime. I think the interesting question is, how long will the guerrilla war go on? I think it'll go on for a very, very long time.
Right, let's get Mr.
And I
Malik's
think you'll find that if the NATO forces push on to switch their assets into Syria, if they begin their aggression against Syria, the rebels may find tough going.
I'd like to get Mr. Malik's view on this. Mr. Malik, one senior NTC official has been quoted as saying that over 70% of the Libyan fighters who have been fighting on the ground object to the intervention of NATO and Western forces. Now, is this, do you think, going to be rather the fact that NATO has said that it will still continue its presence and the concerns about the extended presence of UN and the US in Libya, is this going to be interpreted as intervention or assistance?
The international community now is united to establish democracy in Libya. We are very thankful to the United Nations and to NATO for the great help they gave us in our time of difficulties, in our time of violence by Gaddafi. It is now time to thank the international community. This is not time to call America names. What Mr. Obama said today is good. We are all for it. We believe that the United States of America is now trying to help the Libyan people to establish democracy. We welcome this greatly. We are very thankful.
All right, Dr. Jones, Mr. Malik, they're saying that it's not now the time to start calling names. Obama said the NATO-led mission will continue so long as the threat of insecurity remains. How long do you think that is supposed to mean?
I think it's going to be a long time. And I think what we're seeing here is American forces spread out in one incomplete invasion after another throughout the entire Middle East. None of the invasions has been successful. Not one country has been pacified. In not one country do the people who have been occupied agree with the occupiers. They all see them as alien invaders, and they all want them out. And now we have just added one more country to that long list of countries that perceive America as an aggressor. So yes, it's going to go on for a long time. And in addition to that, every revolution leads to a civil war, and this civil war is going to happen soon because these people are going to start fighting amongst each other. It's already happened. They're going to start fighting over the spoils of who's going to get the loot, and that's going to complicate matters still further.
Right. And Dr. Tarpley, if I could put this question to you as well, when Mr. Malik says that it's now time for Libya to move on, to let the transitional council go forward with the democratic process that it's seeking, the question that still remains, though, is will the revolutionaries be able to maintain and control political power in Libya without NATO backing, without US and UN backing, amid, of course, the lots of reports that we've been hearing about divisions in this force, and also the prominent concern among all revolutions now in the Middle East and North Africa, that the revolutionaries, the real revolutionaries, may not actually be in charge. Dr. Tarpley.
I'm afraid I don't see any authentic revolutions in these areas. I see some cynical color revolutions and CIA people power coups with a certain amount of disguise going on, camouflage, you might say. It looks to me that you've got a group around Belhaj and his coterie of jihadis, of al-Qaeda veterans. You've got Gumu in there, the former chauffeur for bin Laden, 6 years in Guantanamo. Belhaj is trying to portray himself as a martyr because he was tortured by the CIA. He was, in fact, a U.S. prisoner of war in Pakistan because he was organizing people to go in and kill the U.S. forces in those countries. And you've got a whole list of these other people. These are most likely the people who assassinated General Yunus at the end of July. And now we've got Salabi coming out and saying a week or two ago that he simply will not tolerate Jalil, who is the head of state in theory, and Jibril, the head of government. Jalil and Jibril really don't seem to control any military forces worth anything. Those seem to be pretty much in the al-Qaeda and foreign fighters. So I think it's very likely that these thieves will fall out. I don't think that Jalil and Jibril will be able to buy insurance policies very easily because their life expectancy is not good with all of these al-Qaeda people around who resent them because they are, of course, holdovers from previous Gaddafi governments. On the Western side, let's look at France. We've got Sarkozy and Cameron made their demagogic tour of Libya a couple of days ago. I don't think they dared go out in public very much in Tripoli. They seem to limit their speechifying to Benghazi. But we have Maître Jacques Vergès in Paris, who has brought a lawsuit against Sarkozy for high crimes against humanity, Nuremberg crimes, and I think there's an excellent basis for that. And again, I would stress, right now, Gaddafi has succeeded, really, in blocking the path of the color revolutions. Really, every country was supposed to have fallen by now in the Middle East, and it hasn't happened. In particular, Syria has been slowed down now for 6 months because of Gaddafi's resistance. I think the U.S. and the British are getting desperate about Syria. If they decide to go for an attack on Syria soon, it will mean that a lot of the military resources that are now in the central Mediterranean will be moved to the eastern Mediterranean, and at that point, we'll see that this rebellion owes very little to these fighters on the ground and just about everything to the NATO bombing. The story that it's an authentic revolution of the Libyan people is, of course, absolutely absurd.
Right.
This is the NATO bombers, the NATO warships, the European officers, the U.S. and other special forces that did it all. And really, the role of these fighters is some fighting, but mainly to be photographed by Al Jazeera.
Okay, I'd like to refer to something you said in the beginning of your remarks, Dr. Tarpley, and put that to Mr. Malik. A lot has been said, Mr. Malik, about the internal divisions in the NTC, those against the NATO accusing the pro-Westerners, so to speak, of stealing the revolution in their words. And we also heard the NATO chief, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, he recently expressed concerns about what he called extremists trying to exploit the situation in reference to those who are not pro-Western in the NTC camp. How do you think that is going to affect the situation in terms of when we say, will the NTC be able to get things into its own control?
Well, nobody in his right mind would pretend that establishing democracy in a country like Libya will be easy. It is not going to be easy. This is why in the Democratic Party, we called right from the beginning for United Nations assistance. Yes, there are divisions within the NTC, that's very clear, but what's happening now is that the Libyans are slowly but surely are getting united to democratize the NTC. This is why we in the Democratic Party support Ms. Dr. Abdurrahman Swahili bid to become the head of the Executive Council. Mr. Jibril must leave the scene, as I said earlier. That would help a lot. His job now, as we see it, should be to negotiate with the Orfella tribe to surrender their arms and not try to make the revolutions of Misrata, who led the revolution, to surrender their arms. It's the Orfella who has to surrender and to give up Gaddafi, who is still among their midst in Beni Ouled.
Right. Dr. Jones, are you optimistic then that a representative election will be held in Libya? And if you're not, what do you think the obstacles are?
No, I'm not optimistic. But secondly, I'd like to know what my colleague means by democracy. Does he mean what we have in America? Is that what he considers democracy, where the politicians get bought and paid for by all of the rich lobbyists? What exactly is he talking about here? What about in Libya, you got a free education and you got free health care? In the United States, under this democratic system, the largest cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills. People go to the emergency room and have to pay for their emergency operation with a credit card. The biggest source of debt among the young people, the generation of my children, is education debt. People are loaded down with usurious interest, usurious debt, for education, for jobs that don't exist and they can't pay for. We need to contextualize all of this boilerplate about democracy. What do you mean by democracy? You had all of these benefits in Libya going to the Libyan people. Now the country will be put under the advocates of the international banking system and they will end up the way we are. That's what democracy is, as far as I can tell.
Dr. Tarpley, does this mean then, or would you agree with this, that the Western type of democracy is what this international mission is all about? And do you think that is not what the Libyan people would want to see?
Democracy is totally irrelevant to this. This is a cynical imperialist attack aiming at the two things that the U.S., the British, and the French value. On the one hand, the oil, and on the other hand, the water. And the water may turn out to be more valuable than the oil. Among these delegations that have come, we've seen, you know, people like Bernard-Henri Lévy, the philodoxer of France in the entourage of Sarkozy. But very sinister, we've seen the people from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And their contact man seems to be this guy, Tarhouni, the finance minister of the Rebel Council. Libya will be under International Monetary Fund conditionality. And that will mean the Washington consensus, deregulation, privatization, the destruction of any state sector that remains, the destruction of any social welfare system or social safety net, and the destruction of all of those very positive things that Gaddafi had done and his regime to distribute the oil revenue. He's really the best example in the world of a government that did something to distribute oil revenue to increase the general welfare, as we used to say, even in this country. As the IMF yoke is imposed, when people find that they're not going to be able to go to college, that they won't have a family allowance, that they can't buy a house, thanks to the fact that this will all be dismantled, because this is what the IMF always does, I think you'll see an even greater backlash against these IMF and NATO agents that are presently running the show. So I think that the future, once again, is protracted guerrilla warfare, urban guerrilla warfare, and depending on the fortunes of war in other theaters, the Eastern Mediterranean looms large because of Syria on the one hand, and also because of the Israeli-Palestinian question that may also heat up. That may siphon off some of these NATO resources, and then you'll find if the rebels are left on their own, I don't think they could last for more than a month.
Okay, we've only got 1 minute and a half left of the program. Let's put this question to Mr. Malik as well. Mr. Malik, when we are speaking of the suggestions of the NTC asking to pay back, being asked rather to pay back for the military support through deals that would be favorable to Western oil interests, of course, other strategic interests that lie in Libya, how relevant do you find these kinds of suggestions? Do you think that there is a danger that although a dictator has been removed from power, and although this has been initially what the Libyan people wanted, they wouldn't, however, want to see these kinds of things happen to their economy, as Dr. Tarpley was saying there, the IMF control being imposed?
That's not going to be the case at all. When we have democracy in Libya, and by the way, our definition of democracy is that it's that of a state that doesn't murder, rape, and torture its people. When we have a political peace in Libya, we will be able, being a very rich country, to establish peace and prosperity, and Libya will become part of the international community. We do not want terrorism. We don't want a leader that terrorizes the whole nation to run Libya as we had for 42 years. We have to move on. Well, it's time now for democracy, and the people who are listening to me now know what democracy is about. We can learn a lot from the American democratic experience and the European experiences. We are beginning to learn, and I'm sure we'll do a good job. We need the help of the international community, and we will establish democracy.
All right, I'm afraid we've run out of time. A lot of questions still remaining, but I'd like to thank Mr. Sabri Malik, spokesman of the Libyan Democratic Party, speaking there from London. In Indiana, Dr. E. Michael Jones, editor of Culture Wars magazine, and in Washington, Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, author and historian. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks so much, viewers, for staying with us on this edition of News Analysis from Mihomar Ezgi and our team here in Tehran. It's goodbye.